We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm so happy for this guy. I really feel good because throughout the football season, Joe and I would talk on a weekly basis. We would yell at him, Brian Costello. We just yell at him about how bad the Jets are.
You hear Costello?
He is, and
we
now
can't
he,
yell at him.
He's actually covering competent football teams.
Wow, how about that?
Just think of it. Could you imagine you being there, and I can't either because it just doesn't happen. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I just don't want to be called the face of disaster, guys.
Why would I say that?
That's Adam Gase.
We never said that. Yeah, that's right. No, the face of disaster is probably the owner.
Yeah, you were just talking about Dolan being the face of disaster.
Well, he is.
I don't want to be targeted like that. So.
Yeah, but he is, though. I mean, you have to admit, Brian, that he is the face of the franchise now, Dolan.
He is. That was a good point. I mean, that was some picture.
Oh, my God.
That was some picture of him losing his mind.
They make the Knicks are so bad for the last 20 years, they make the Jets look like the Patriots. I mean, that's how bad it is.
It's funny. With the Knicks, the Jets, and the Mets, you know, there's always debate of who's more poorly run, who's more dysfunctional and stuff, and the Knicks always seem to find a way to take the crown back, if anyone's threatening.
Well, you know what's funny? The Knicks are not even on the same level as the Mets and the Jets, because I know it's been a while for the Jets, but Joe and I were at title games in back-to-back years this century.
Yeah, hard, right.
The
hard to
Mets
believe.
Were in a World Series less than a half a decade ago. The Knicks, outside of one season in which we don't even need to go through it, where there was a little buzzkill where they almost blew game six, where they almost blew a 30-point lead.
A 3-0 lead.
And a 3-0 series lead. It's been all bad. So the Knicks are by far and away the worst team in this town. And we'll see if it changes.
You know, the other thing, too, with the Knicks, Brian, is that because of the with the Wilpons and with the Johnsons, they're not preventing guys from signing or going to play for the team. Whereas I think Dolan's actually preventing different guys from coming there. I really do.
Oh, it definitely seems like it was some of the big names over the last 10 years that they've all talked about. And then, you know, they come out and say, well, I wasn't going to the Knicks ever. And, you know, the latest being your guys now, Evan, over in Brooklyn.
Yes. Now, before we talk football, obviously you're only coming on the air because you have a product to sell. So what product are you selling, Brian,
you selling
on Radio
Row? You got a book? Tell me you got a book. You have a book?
No, I have nothing. I have nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing to
I thought
to
maybe
sell.
You're going to write like a jet book. And if you are, you better include me somewhere in that book, Brian.
I will. Absolutely.
All right. No, you'd write the foreword. That's what you
I'll
do
the forward for mine. So you don't even have to pay me.
So there's no health product that gives you more energy. Okay,
no,
fine.
No, nothing. Now, I got nothing.
Before we get to the game, you're down in Miami. Is there any scuttlebutt, if you will, about Tom Brady's future? We've talked a little bit about it today. What have you heard, if anything?
I haven't really heard anything here. You know, that photo last night caused a lot of buzz. But, you know, are we going to now be deciphering what Twitter photos mean and stuff? It's really been a lot of speculation, and you know, this is kind of always the Super Bowl week is kind of the kickoff to that offseason speculation, but I don't think we're going to know anything for 6 weeks, guys.
You know, I got to jump on this, so I got to ask you about Jamal, because everything I'm reading about is that they're in contract negotiations with him now. I mean, it looks good this is going to get done, right, Brian?
I don't think they're too deep into contract negotiations. I talked to Jamal the other day, you know, as others did, and he said, you know, there's been some contact between the two sides. I don't think they're very far along, but I think the Jets realize, you know, he's a guy that's worth paying. And, you know, if you're going to draft somebody that does as well as he's done, all pro now, you got to sign him and send a message to your locker room.
No question.
If you play well, you know, we're going to pay you.
And the fans, too, let's be honest.
And the fans, yeah. And, I mean, he's only scheduled to make $3.5 million this year, which he's a much better player than $3.5 million when Landon Collins is getting 14 and Eddie Jackson is getting 14.6. So I understand where he's coming from, and I think the team does, and I think it will get done. I don't know how I wouldn't say, oh, it's going to get done quickly because of what he said this week. It could take a while. There's no rush right now, but I do think it'll get done this offseason.
What team have you been around most this past week?
The Chiefs. Yeah, we divided up since I'm in the AFC. I do the Chiefs, and Paul Schwartz, who covers the Giants for the Post, does mostly the 49ers. But I've been a little bit around the 49ers, but mostly the Chiefs.
So give us your thoughts. This was a weird year for them. They come off the brutal loss in the title game, D Ford being offsides. And for a big part of the year, they were the forgotten about team. All the talk was about Lamar Jackson, even the Patriots' real good, real bad end to their season. Mahomes had his injury. What was your overall thoughts on Kansas City?
Well, just looking at it, you know, closely as I started looking through their season, they really caught fire in November defensively. And I think, you know, we all talk about Mahomes, obviously Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, a great offense. But I think, you know, the defense has been what's helping them along here. And, you know, you look at the last 6 weeks, I think they gave up 7 total touchdowns in those games. And then in the playoffs, you know, the Texans score is a little deceiving because they had the block punt. They remember they had a muff punt.
Right. Yeah.
Where the Texans got the ball
to
10. So they gave up 31 points. But in reality, I think you could say more like 17 on the defense. And then they did a great job against Derrick Henry, who no one was stopping, you know, and they held him to 69 yards. So here come the 49ers with this great rushing offense. And I think Garoppolo is kind of getting overlooked a little bit because of how they've run the ball in the playoffs. But the Chiefs' defense, you know, could be the key to this game in my eyes.
You know, it's crazy, and we haven't talked, but we're talking to Brian Costello of the Post, is how the final day of the regular season this year really determined every. I mean, just you know, between the Dolphins beating the Patriots, and even the way it ended for the Niners on the half yard line with Seattle. I mean, you know, we probably would have two different teams in the Super Bowl if not for that.
Yeah, probably. You know, it was crazy that it came down to that, to Week 17. For both teams, and you know, the who thought the Dolphins would win in Foxborough?
Oh, you know, my God.
That to me is just stunning.
The biggest shock of the year was that one.
Yep, yeah, Fitzmagic. he didn't have it in Week 17 for your team, guys, but he did for the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, well, there was no pressure on him.
No pressure on him.
You know, they won four games.
Going into that. A little different.
One guy, I got to say, with the Chiefs defense, like, I've been blown away by this week is Tyrann Mathieu. You know, I remember him from LSU and the Honey Badger stuff, and I can even remember being
on with
you guys.
They threw him out of school. They threw him out of LSU.
And I remember being on with you guys before that draft, and we were saying, like, would the Jets take him? But there's these issues, and he had drug problems and all this stuff because he had failed drug tests in college, reportedly. But he is, like, the leader of this defense, and guys love him. Mm. Like, the guys just talk glowingly about him, and he's been all over the field for them. Like, a real, you know, he's played some slot corner, safety, in the box, outside corner. He's everywhere. And he's made a big difference for them, from everyone I talked to this year.
What about the
reminds
status?
Me of another LSU guy, our guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly.
That's why you got to pay him.
No question. What about the status of Chris Jones? He ended up playing in the championship game, had a very good year during the regular season. He's dealing with that calf issue. Yep. What about him?
Yeah, it seems like he's good to go. Everyone practiced today. Andy Reid told the pool reporter that was there he expects everyone to play. Both teams are really healthy now, you know, with the guys that are on the active roster. So he looked pretty good in that championship game. He was kind of limited, you know, but it was limited role, like less snaps. But now with 2 weeks, I would think he'd be even better and ready to go.
And you hit on it. I mean, the Chief defense, if you look overall at their regular season numbers, sure, especially against the run. But over the last 5-6 weeks and definitely in the postseason, this defense is playing at a much higher level lately.
Yeah, and remember, they brought Spagnuolo in, right? They fired Bob Sutton, Steve Spagnuolo, and it took a little while. Like, sometimes it takes a little while to get the system down. They went from a 3-4 to a 4-3. They brought Tyrann Mathieu in. They brought Frank Clark in. I think it took a little while for the pieces to gel. They had some injuries. But they've, you know, I think it's really been the key for them down the stretch here. And I was talking to one of the guys who just said, we had to take the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. Like, we couldn't get here if he had to win every game for us. Mm-hmm. And they kind of have been – they feel a little bit, like, underrated. They have that chip on their shoulder thing. So I'm interested to see how they play on Sunday.
Yeah, how about D Ford? How about the fact that D Ford cost them the Super Bowl last year? They would have won that game if he's not lined up offside, and now he's on the other team.
Yeah, and there's a topic this week, and, you know, Frank Clark called it a dumb play, but he kind of said we all make those plays. You know, and the Chiefs have been careful to say that, you know, that wasn't his fault that we lost the game. There were other things in the game. But I was at that game. And, you know, when Brady throws the interception,
game's over.
Like, oh, my gosh, here we go. It's over. And then you see the flag on the field, and it was just incredible. And now he gets to face his former team. That's a fun storyline.
We've seen a lot of defenses over the years put that virtuoso performance against a big-time offense. Realistically, how many points does San Francisco have to hold this offense to win?
That's a great question. I think in the 20s. You know, I think if it gets over 30, then you're in trouble. But, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I know the total's really high. Is it 54, 55 right now?
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. So, yeah, I think realistically if they keep them in the 20s, they got to feel good about themselves.
You know what's crazy about this high-scoring game? Last year we had a Super Bowl that was 3-3 going into the fourth quarter, 13-3. Ended
13-3. Yeah. Well, you know, you're down here. We write about 8,000 stories down here in the Post. If you've seen the Post this week, we have six guys here. We're writing 100 stories a day. So yesterday I got to the Chiefs, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to write? And then I looked at the punter, and I'm like, this guy punted 48 times. And I'm like, let me see what the punter on the team I cover punted. 87 times.
Wow.
For the Jets.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I went over to him. Right. You know, Dustin Colquitt, whose brother punted, his father punted with the Steelers back in the day. So I said to him, I go, do you kind of wish you're on the Jets? I'm like, you might be the one guy here like that wishes on the Jets so you could work more. And he just kind of laughed. He's like, well, I've been there before. And, you know, talking about last year's game, I thought that Patriots punter, Ryan Allen, he was like almost the MVP to be. Remember, he kept pinning the Rams back inside the 10. And that kind of dictated the game. So, you know, who knows? We all predict a high-scoring game. Maybe it won't go that way.
Now, again, Brian, of course, covers the Jets. And I got to throw some names at you. Now, yesterday we had two guys on. We had Bilal Powell and Brian Winters
and
on.
Winters, yeah.
Now, are both of them or either of them or neither of them on the team next year?
I'll go neither of them are on the team
really?
Next year.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Bilal's a free agent. They liked Bilal a lot. He's getting to that stage where it's like, okay, how many times do they keep bringing him back?
He gets hurt a lot, too. He gets hurt.
And, you know, do they want to get younger and fast? I know they need to get faster on offense. Do they try to draft, like, a speed back and get someone in there that can really be a game breaker? I look at the Bills. And Singletary up there was a great pick by them.
He was good.
The Jets need a guy like that.
They do.
I'm not sure Bilal's that guy anymore, so I'm not sure about him. And Winters, he's still under contract, but he has a big number.
Yep.
And he's another guy who just can't really stay healthy. So I think they'll probably move on from him at some point this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of figured that yesterday. And it's amazing how long both those guys have been with the team.
It's unbelievable. Three different regimes, really.
Yes.
Which is unheard of, really.
I couldn't believe Bilal was doing radio yesterday. Bilal is not a guy who liked to talk to the media very much.
Was he a jerk to the media?
He wasn't selling anything.
I wouldn't call him a jerk, Evan, because I think he truly had some shyness to him and just didn't like doing it. But he was very difficult to get him to talk.
He was never rude.
He was always a nice guy,
hit me. He wasn't selling anything. You know who Bilal Powell was selling yesterday?
Bilal Powell.
Himself.
Powell. Right.
Yeah. He's starting to realize I'm 31.
Right. Yep. No, you're right.
I got to get ready for the next step.
You're 100% right.
Well, they learn how to say hello when they're saying goodbye. That's the only
What about Robbie? Is he coming back, yes or no?
Robbie's the one. It's about the money. You know, I think they'd love to have him back. I don't think they want to pay him $14 million a year or $15 million a year, which some of these receiver contracts get crazy. You know, like Sammy Watkins we talked about. He has a big contract. I think the Jets' approach will be, Robbie, go out. You know, he already said he wants to test the market. Go out, test the market, see what you get, but make sure you come back to us before you sign anything and tell us. I think if it's $12 million a year, the Jets will match it. I think if it's $15 million a year, they'll say, we wish you well.
Right.
I think that's how that will go. It's hard to predict. Free agency, the contracts get out of control quickly. So, somebody might pay them.
I shouldn't think this way, but I'm being honest with you. Every time I see a former Dolphin under Adam Gase have success, it's another reason in my head that makes me dislike Gase as a coach more. We saw Ryan Tannehill come very close to getting to a Super Bowl. And in this Super Bowl, you've got Damian Williams, who was on the Dolphins for a bunch of years. They really didn't use him all that much. Now he's having a hell of a year with Kansas City. Is that another, and be fair, maybe I'm not being fair, is that another example of Adam Gase's failure as a head coach?
I understand it. I understand the thing. I actually talked to Damian Williams about it, and I talked to Matt Moore, who's the Chiefs' backup, who was there.
Right.
We talked to Emmanuel Sanders, also in the 49ers, about Gase. I haven't written it yet. I'm going to write it in a couple of days here. But, I asked them that, and Damian Williams said it's not fair. He says it was all about timing. He said 2016, they had it rolling, and he thought, they were all playing really well, and then the Tannehill injury happened, and everything kind of went downhill. But he said he liked playing for Gase. He had an issue with him at the end when he got cut, and I think Gase wasn't talking to him very much, and he mentioned that. But other than that, he said it's not really fair. He says it's just really about timing and landing in the right spot. Because for Damian Williams, the key here was really Kareem Hunt having his issues, And that kind of opened the door for Damian Williams to start playing last year.
Avery Williamson, is he back?
That's a good one. I don't think so, because I think what happened this year was guys like Neville Hewitt and Burgess kind of stepped up and showed the Jets that, you know, maybe they're not that bad and they're a lot cheaper than Avery. So I think they could move on from Avery Williamson and just try to do it, go pay a little less money for that second linebacker.
Right, right.
And when's the exact date for free agency again, so we can mark it on our calendars?
March 18th, I think it is.
All right, so we got a month and a half.
Yeah, it's still a ways away. We got the combine here at the end of February, which will be in prime time, which I know you guys will be locked into watching.
Oh, it's prime time now?
Yeah, well, 40, you can watch a 40-yard dash before you go to bed.
Oh, my God. You can watch a guy in his shorts running 40-yard dashes.
You know what's scary,
That's going to tell me he's a player.
I'll tell you.
Here's the problem. And this is the truth. It'll get a higher rating than the NBA on TNT now.
It probably will.
That's a problem.
Grizzlies problem. Raptors won't do as well as the offensive lineman bench press. Right.
Now let me ask you. Now the Jets are picking 11.
Yep.
And obviously the offensive line to me is the biggest need. I mean, what do you see them doing here with that?
Here's my thing with 11th, because it's like, you know, there could be three tackles taken before they get
on
the board.
Right.
To me, it's best player available at three positions. It's offensive line, cornerback, edge rusher. I take the best player from those three positions that's available at 11. So if three tackles go off the board, I don't think you can kill them for not taking the fourth tackle at 11 if the number two edge rusher is available. You know what I mean? Like this kid from LSU.
Right.
You're not going to get the number one edge
rusher. Chase on, what's his name? Chase on, right?
Yeah. So, like, you know, to me, it's those three positions. Offense, I agree, offensive line is the biggest need. Yep. But, we've talked about edge rusher every year for the last 15 years.
I know, they passed on one this past year.
Yes, they did. At some point, they have to draft one. And, you know, they also need cornerbacks desperately. So you could take one there, you know. And then, of course, they'll end up taking the best defensive lineman that's on the board when it comes to
– Oh, my God. They can't do that again.
No, I got to tell Joe Douglas, like, Joe, you just, whatever you do, don't take a defensive tackle, please.
Yes. No more defense. Defensive tackles. I can't deal with any more of those. How about Le'Veon? What's the deal there?
I don't think he's going anywhere because of the contract. I don't think they want to eat money. You know, I've known some people throw it out there. Oh, they can just, you know, to get rid of him. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think it makes sense to do that. You know, I think they're hoping he shows up for the spring, which, you know, he didn't last year, and maybe they can get him a little bit more in sync with the offensive line. And, you know, that's the key to me is we talk about offensive line. That will help Le'Veon if they can just get a better offensive line, because there's a lot of times this year where he did his hesitation waiting for the hole to open, and the hole never opened. So, you know, I think there was a lot of blame to go around with what happened with the running game this year. The head coach deserves plenty of blame. Le'Veon deserves blame. The offensive line deserves blame. And, you know, all parties have to kind of figure it out this offseason and make it work better this year.
Why not hear another? What is your prediction for Super Bowl 54?
Yes.
I predict the Chiefs are going to win. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think I picked 45-30 I sent into the paper. I think
45-30?
45-30. So you like the Chiefs and the over.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I mean, it might be because I'm around the Chiefs all week. I will admit that. I've been around them a lot more than the 49ers. But, like, you're just looking at it, and you know, the stories here about Patrick Mahomes, and then, you know, and watching them in the playoffs. I was at the Texans game. I was not at the AFC Championship game. But, you know, when I was at the Texans game, just the speed, it's jarring how fast they are, especially covering the Jets, who are not fast. It's just jarring, and I think – I just think Mahomes is going to light it up on Sunday.
When you were sitting there, I don't even know what your age was, let's say 22-year-old kid Brian Costello, watching a meaningless Met game in May, did you think the long reliever's son would become the best quarterback in the NFL?
No, I did not. I remember calling him Pat Mahomers, though. I remember.
Pat was a good Met. Don't get
He was
Pat
pretty good
Mahomes.
For the Mets. He wasn't
I'm
bad.
Sure he got, he gave up some home runs, though. But you're saying I was 22 years old. I was an obnoxious 22-year-old.
How old were you at that time? Was my prediction right? 1999, let's say.
23, yeah.
You were wow, right.
Yeah,
look
yeah,
at
yeah,
me.
Wow, 23. Yeah. Wow, I won't tell you how old I was in 19.
Yeah, I remember going to the playoffs against the Braves that year. I remember being in the stands watching that.
That didn't go well.
No, it didn't go well. Didn't usually go very well for the Mets.
Now, I'm surprised you're not in the SNY commercial that has Ira in it. Have you seen that? the Jet commercial with Ira when he says the Jets are my life.
I'm not as telegenic. I'm not as telegenic as Ira.
All right, I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if I saw that. I saw Ira in something. Was it SNY?
Yeah, probably.
It's an SNY Jet commercial. They have various fans in it. Obviously not me. I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why I'm not in it. But Ira is in it, so I figured maybe you'd be in it too.
Not me. They don't want me in that. Just Ira.
Yeah,
Brian, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for hopping on.
Well, all right, guys.
We'll talk
great
to you next
to
year, Brian. Unless something earth-shaking happens. All right.
Well,
I guess before the draft.
Me,
that's right. Before the draft. That's all of that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Right. In case they fired a GM.
Never know.
Right.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Brian.
See you, man.
Brian Costello does a great job covering the Jets for us for the Post all year. He's down covering the Super Bowl, mostly looking at the Kansas City Chiefs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.